Really?
You ready, Mr. Director Steele? You all rise, please, and join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, will you call roll, please?
President Graves.
Present.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Present.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Thank you very much. This is the time for public comment. If anybody has anything that they'd like to say that is not on a specific agenda item, this would be the time to come to the podium and say what you'd like to say. There is one yellow sheet tonight, which we always give priority to. So, Jeff Barber, did you have something you'd like to say?
I'd like to ask the attorney before this meeting moves into any agenda items where there'll be discussion. If he could clarify for myself and maybe others how the public participation works exactly. So it's my understanding that when something is brought forward, the directors discuss it, the public is asked to comment on it. If it's appropriate, there may then be a motion for a subsequent vote. But at the time of the motion, I've seen it done where there is more public comment, where the public is allowed to comment on the motion, whereas previously there was no motion, they were just allowed to comment on the general issue. And then I've seen it done where there is no ability to comment on the specific motion that has been made subsequent to director and public comment. So I'd like that to be please clarified so that going forward it's done the same way and that myself and hopefully others understand the exact way it's supposed to go. Is that clear? Is my question clear?
It's public comment.
Your comments are clear to me.
Is my question clear?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. All right. So that, hopefully that can be clarified shortly. And then I don't know if there'll be the opportunity to say so or not, but I would hope that one of the directors takes that item off of the consent calendar for the Chamber of Commerce party so that can be discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments?
Good evening. This is really directed to President Graves. During our telephone conversation on October 6th, I expressed concern with your statement that you'd made during the September 21st meeting to the effect that people in the room had submitted allegations to the grand jury and the media that you suffered from mental illness. My concern is that comments from you and other members of the board, where you put forth positions on the board, need to be accurate rather than what sometimes seems self-serving and inaccurate. Because I'm aware that Mr. Richardson has sent information to the grand jury and the media, I asked him if he'd ever made any allegations of you suffering from mental illness to anyone, and he denied having done so. And it was on that basis that I shared my concern with you. You told me in very clear terms that Bill Richardson was lying if he said he never alleged to the grand jury that you had mental illness. I was struck by your words. You didn't entertain any possibility that he was mistaken or had possibly forgotten that he'd made such an allegation to the grand jury. You were very clear and unequivocal. If Mr. Richardson denies having made the allegations to the grand jury, then he is a liar. You went on to say you had a specific document written by Mr. Richardson containing that very allegation sent to the grand jury and asked me what I thought of that. I told you that if you were telling the truth, then I would be very disappointed in Mr. Richardson. And if you were not telling the truth, then I'd be very disappointed in you. But with that information, I again went to Mr. Richardson and asked if he was certain that he had not made any allegation about your mental illness. And he adamantly denied it again. So, since you've defended your statement that you made here as the board president at the expense of Mr. Richardson's integrity, I think it's necessary for you to bring this to a conclusion. I certainly respect the fact that discussing allegations of one's mental illness is not pleasant. Indeed, I did not appreciate it when then Vice President Dawson included in public document comments to the effect that he and others had discussed and determined that I suffered from mental illness and required treatment. However, in this case, you voluntarily raised this issue and have left no other way to resolve your allegations against Mr. Richardson. So I asked you to share this document, and you've ignored my request. I again ask that you share it. If you're unwilling to do so, or admit that no one has ever submitted such allegations to the grand jury or the media, then I would ask that the board entertain this issue for an agenda item. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Any other comments? Well, I have a couple comments. I have in my possession, right here, four letters that say, and they are sent to all of the above mentioned people, that says, President Graves, mental health, slanderous statements. Four letters right here in Mr. Richardson's typewritten hand and signed by him. So again, Mr. Flint, you just because you say it doesn't make it true. And what this has to do with the rest of the board is really well beyond me. And why this is being discussed is well beyond me. But I'm tired of you calling me a liar. And so I'm presenting to you the evidence I have right here. Four letters that all have that caption on them. And that's and that should put an end to this for once and for all, I would hope. Thank you. You know what, Director Simon? I'll do it how I feel see fit.
Well, you should do that, because you are the president.
Since I'm the moderator, today I thought it's appropriate to respond at this time. Great.
Good, we have no decorum.
Can I respond to that?
Wow.
Mr. President,
moving on to, I do have, there was no more comments. I asked and nobody came forward. So, in the spirit of trying to accommodate, are there any more comments? Oh, Mr. Richardson.
Can we have copies of those four letters?
There's a process for that, and you can follow that process.
Tells me the validity of your statements, Mr. President.
They have your signatures on them, sir. I don't know what to tell you.
Can you give me the dates?
I closed public comments. Public comments are closed. Moving on to protocol that has been an issue with the interaction between the board and the public. It seems to me that the public has been indicating that they don't feel that the board has, and I think this is actually part of the question that Mr. Barber brought up earlier, has been able to consider the public's input to issues that the board votes on, because we listen to the statements, we have our conversation, and then we ask for public comments. And in so doing, it's kind of like we've already decided what we're going to do before the public has an opportunity to comment. So based on the Brown Act and the options available to the board, going forward, as long as I'm seated as moderator, how we're going to handle this is that we're going to ask for public comments immediately following the staff report or before the item if there is no staff report. And that will give the public an opportunity to give their input and give the directors an opportunity to then consider that input prior to us having our discussion. So I hope that everybody understands that. If not, we'll play it by ear as we go through the meeting tonight. Moving on to area agency reports. Tony.
Afternoon, everyone.
Hello, Anthony.
Let me get situated here. I think that's enough. I believe Lieutenant Johnson was here last month, but he didn't have copies of the stats. I went ahead and put 2 months of stats attached to that, September and October's. I think he covered briefly what happened in September.
I actually do need
a little bit more activity in September than there was in October. October was a better month for us. I see 2 reported residential burglaries. Some little things, a little bit of vandalism, people treating each other a little badly. Any particular questions for what you guys see there? Really, in a nutshell, it's basically property crimes. Oh, and it's crimes of opportunity, an open side garage door, a window, stuff being left in a car. Little things that could possibly avoid the crime from happening, especially ones in a car. If they don't see anything, they're not going to play into it. You leave your door locked, secure, closed, go move on to the next house. Anything at all for the stats?
Well, in following suit with the new protocol, is there anything from the public that they'd like to talk to Detective Fontenot about? Nothing for the public? Okay. Oh, yes.
Yes, Mr.
Please come to the podium and speak so it's recorded.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
On page 2 or 3, it's the top. It says found property, found property, found property. I've never seen that before. Have you got a new system of tracking things down or logging them in or what?
We usually have the found property reports. We just, that month, we had more. Basically, it's anything they find from bicycles to, if I'm not mistaken, let me tell you. I think I wrote it down what they were. We had anything from a bike found, a cell phone found, some mail found on the street, some counterfeit bills that were floating that they found on the street, some drugs in the park, and somebody wanted some ammo destroyed. That's basically all you found property.
Thank you. Any questions, comments from the board?
With that said, may I make a...
Floor is yours.
Okay. I don't know if you guys remember, last year I mentioned something. It's that time of year again with the holiday season. And for us, the Sheriff's Department, we team up with the Oakley Police Department, as well as Delta Station, the deputies that work out in East County, and now our resident deputies. We do a program every Christmas called Cops for Kids. I don't know if anyone remembered the last 2 years that we've had. Basically, in a nutshell, we have a school resource officer. We get a list of names of children from the school that are on need. We send out invitations, and we also identify children in the community through our officers that deal with the families all year long. So we kind of know who, where, when, all that good stuff. So we send out invitations inviting the children to come see Santa Claus. We have Santa Claus come over to our dinner that we have for them and their family. Their brothers and sisters are invited with mom and dad. And we have a nice hot meal cooked and prepared for them. They come in, they check in. I try to get groceries for them. I try to get the meal done for them. They have arts and crafts, stuff like that. It usually lasts about 3 hours. They take a photo with Santa. And they get to go in our toy room. And this is children between... 0 to 13 years of old. We don't do any children higher than that, toys. But the big siblings are invited over for the meal and stuff. This is something we've been doing for about 5 years now. And on average, we're looking at about 200 kids that we have show up to this event, 180 to 200. And believe it or not, majority of them are coming from the Discovery Bay area. We counted, the year that I counted, we had 120 come from Discovery Bay out of 180. It's a great event. I try to push that every year because we always need toys. That's the biggest thing. I don't need really cash. All I want is some unwrapped toys. This year I worked with Straw Hat and the Boardwalk and I'm going to put some toy barrels out there, the Straw Hat Boardwalk, and also where the chiropractor's office is, and also by the station. So Straw Hat's offering a little, I think they're 15% off your entire meal if you bring an unwrapped toy, a complimentary appetizer for the Boardwalk and Grill if you bring an unwrapped toy, and that's going to be good until December 14th. So if possible, if you guys can spare or think of that when you're out shopping, by all means, please see if you can donate it. I really greatly appreciate it, and the officers do too. And for those of you who would like to see, well, we don't really advertise it. We don't like put pictures in the paper and stuff like that because we just don't want kids to be seen like that. You know, if you get where I'm getting at. But it's a good cause. And ask any one of these officers, they'll tell you about it. It's really heartbreaking. I see these little kids there, and they're, you know, trying to take food home and stuff like that. It's really a sad scene. So if you guys could think of that. Is there any questions at all regarding the Sheriff's Department? Anything else that we got going on that you might want
to
ask?
No, just to stay with that same theme for a second, is that something we can put on our website and advertise on our website? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to make you a drink. Rick, is that something we can put on our...
Yes.
Okay, great. Brian?
You kind of stole my thunder on that one. I was going to ask Rick the same thing. I just want to say, I saw the photos. I saw a photo display from last year's, and it's fantastic. Just want to thank you guys for all your hard work.
Well, it's all because of the community that does that. And having the officers participate in that, it just brings them closer to the kids, especially at that age. Because when they hit teenage, you know how teenagers are. And once you develop that relationship when they're young like that, they won't be afraid to go up and talk to these guys if you're attacked.
Does the press put something in there?
Yeah, I usually send it out on my email list, which I'll probably do tomorrow. I sent one to Amanda Dove for the press. We just don't have funding for it, so it's up to the, when I forward it, that everyone else does it. I don't really want to, you know.
Well, let's ask for it. She's sitting right there in the back.
Yeah, yes, we.
And they have in the past put a blurb in the paper, which is really
not. Not that we want to put you on the spot right
no,
now.
No, I appreciate that.
Who was you? Back here.
And Lieutenant Johnson, I apologize for his absence tonight. He is currently, I believe you know, there's the Miss Supervisor Pico's event tonight, so he's going to be attending that. For the, he was asked to go there, so I stepped up and came over here for him. We did, as you know, lost Mark for, he's a detective now over there at the investigations. I think he's in the process of getting a new deputy out here, a resident deputy, so we're looking at December, if I'm not mistaken. So everything else going good. School program's going really good with David Lane, school resource officer. I think he's got almost 60 children in the after-school program there on Wednesdays. So we're doing really good on that aspect. So we're trying to keep it active.
Tony, is Mark, is he up there with Lieutenant Burton in the same facility?
Yeah.
What's the address of that?
What is the address?
Do you know what that address is in Martinez?
No, but I can get to you.
That'd be great. I appreciate it. Any other questions, comments?
Quickly, do you need food, cash,
you know,
anything to help with this?
The biggest thing I could really use would be toys. You know, cash is always good, but I don't like cash because for me, it's receipt. You got to go to the general account, which has to go to some other account. Then it's got to go to this account, my spreadsheet. It's a pain in the...
Would gift cards be more effective?
You know, it's best if you get the toys yourself.
Okay, good.
That's the best way. Boardwalk and Grill, Chris, he stepped up. He told me he was going to take care of all of my food. So he's going to cook the meal, serve it, and everything else. So I can't thank him enough. So please, if you see him, thank him. I hope he patronizes just as he can. But he's doing a real good job on that aspect. So. But yeah, toys is the key. And, you know, if it's okay, I'm right there. Drop it off there. Drop it off at the station. I'm going to send a flyer out, and hopefully you'll see it and know where to bring the stuff.
What was the ages again?
13 and younger is what I'm looking at.
13 and younger?
Yeah. I've got a buddy of mine that works as an IT guy for a corporation in San Francisco. So he's generous enough to give me some of the old laptops that he refurbishes. So what we also do as a side note is we have the teachers and the school representatives give us a name of a student, or put a student recommendations and have them write a letter recommending these children, and we we sit down as a little committee, read them all, and always select a child to receive a laptop computer and a printer for supplies. So this year we have two laptop computers that he's going to give me, and I'm trying to push for a third one. But you should see the expression on that little one's face when they get the laptop. So, and these are not like the fancy laptops you can run all these games on. It's just a basic work laptop that they can do their programs on for school work and stuff. Thanks for your time. I'm sorry to drag that on like that.
No, thank you.
Thanks for your service.
Good stuff. Thanks. Totally appreciate it.
And always, if you need anything or have any questions, by all means, stop by and ask. That's what I'm there for. Thank you.
Chief Burris.
Hello, I'm Lieutenant Chief Burris. How's everybody doing?
Good. I'm not sure what you're covering.
Don't take his butt away.
Okay, jumping right in. We ran 67 calls for the month of October, up from 64 for the month of September. 43 medicals, 4 structure fires, 1 vehicle fire, 5 vegetation fires, 5 automobile accidents, 1 boat water rescue, 6 fire alarms, hazardous condition, and a smoke investigation. You'll figure everyone wants to know about the boat water rescue. That was a gentleman or a fishing party out at Kirtland having chest pains, and they were stuck in the growth in
water,
the water.
Hyacinth,
that's the word. And they were stuck there, so we had to go out and rescue them.
Okay. He survived?
Yes, he did.
Do you have anything to add, Chief Burris?
Yes, a safety note, as Thanksgiving's rapidly approaching us, the deep turkey fryers, do not put a frozen turkey in a deep fryer. Do not use the turkey fryer in the garage. They all sound simple, but it's not. And do not use a turkey fryer next to a house that has got the lovely little wood siding, the little
shingle
wood siding that looks very nice. And do not use said turkey fryer by a wooden fence. As Turkey Day rapidly approaches. And for the men out there, if you do have a turkey or a ham in the oven, do not use the little lever that's the self-cleaning lever.
for the men, come on.
Men, because it's usually us who does it. Because the women know us.
The yes. One time a year when you use the oven?
Yes.
Have all these things really happened?
Yes.
Oh.
And a majority of them have happened in Discovery Bay. All jesting aside, yes, Discovery Bay.
Sounds like a couple of them might happen at your house.
You can always tell when I'm done cooking because the smoke alarm goes off. No brainer. Does anybody
any comments from the public for or questions for Chief Burris? Okay, any from the board? Okay, well, I think thank you for your report.
Last one. We're also transitioning weather-wise. Starting to get cold. People are starting to use the fireplaces. It's that time of the year to open your flue before you start a fire in the fireplace. Last little note there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Supervisor Pifo, as was mentioned earlier, has a town hall meeting in Antioch tonight, and her staff is with her, so Karen could not be here. But she apologized for that. The couple of things she wanted me to bring forward were number one is that the vacancy, this is of importance to us, the vacancy on the ECCFPD has been filled by a lady named Cheryl Morgan. And not by coincidence, she's from Morgan Territory area, so she is from the unincorporated area, which is nice for us. She's been active at the board, at the fire board meetings. I've met her several times, and I have confidence that she will be representing the unincorporated areas with effectiveness. I believe that she will be invited to be here at a future meeting to introduce herself to us, so we will get a chance to see who she is and to talk to her and address any questions we may have or concerns about the board. The usual delays on Vasco. Apparently this Friday through the weekend there's going to be some new lane changing or something going on out there. And if you have any questions on any of these things, feel free to call Karen at the Brentwood office of the supervisor. Any committee reports? Board, any committee reports?
Well, we have it, this
town. Oh, these aren't the right committees, or what?
Yeah, there's a committee updates on the next page, so.
Okay. Okay, so transplant didn't meet, county planning. Who goes to transplant? You do, Rick? No? Code enforcement. Any code enforcement issues?
I was unable to attend the code enforcement meeting at the last week. But I did convey some concerns relative to some issues over in the Ravenswood Park area.
Roger that. Okay. Anybody else here with any committee reports? We have a gentleman, Steele. What's his first name?
Dwayne.
Dwayne Steele. He's not been here the last few times. Consent calendar. Any?
Like to pull item four.
Item four will be pulled from the consent calendar.
I will move that we approve the consent calendar minus item four.
Can you pull item one also?
And
pull item one, please. Are these two left? Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Motion to approve the consent calendar minus item one and item four.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Great. At this point, I would address item one. I would ask for any comments from the public with regards to item one, please.
We discussed this basic issue before, and that is the concept of action item minutes or verbatim minutes or something in between. The situation we have here is these are not action item minutes, they're more than that, and they're inconsistent. There are some items where, for instance, resident Michael Gregans commented on the need for a street light and crosswalk at the intersection of Discovery Bay Boulevard and Clipper Drive. Also commented on the rental inspection program and future dog park. And then a little bit inconsistently, very inconsistently, there's under future agenda items. I can't find this right now. It's, I had asked during future agenda items to bring the Prop 218 concerns for board discussion, and that's not noted in there. So I'm not sure about the reasons for those kinds of inconsistencies. I would appreciate it if the minutes were actually action item minutes and no attempt to add these sorts of comments. We have the audio available. What we end up with is an inconsistent and inaccurate depiction of what happens in the meetings. And if you're not going to include the comments that I made, I don't think you should include the comments that other people made.
Thank you. Any other comments on item one? Any comments from the board on item one? Director Simon.
Why don't we hold item one out and correct it? And bring it back.
The issue with Prop 218, I don't recall that discussion being requested by Mr. Flynn. We would have to go back and review the tape on that.
Do that?
Well.
Motion, or that we make that motion that we review the minutes and correct as necessary the item that Mr. Flynn is concerned about.
For the next meeting. I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item four. Any discussion from the public on item four?
before I make my comment on this, can I get a little more clarification on what you said about the procedure for making comments? And I understand, I think it's fine, the public comments, then the directors discuss. But what about once a motion is made, once there's a motion on the floor? In the past, I've seen it then where the public can come and comment on the motion, which may be something very different than was originally brought forth and discussed in general. So what about that? That is the part of my question that I still don't understand.
I understand. I don't mean to be rude, Jeff. We're speaking about a specific item, but my comment would be this, and counsel, correct me if I'm wrong. Once the public has an opportunity to comment, the public has an opportunity to comment. You don't get multiple times to comment. You comment, you have one opportunity to come up and comment. And so to give repetitive opportunities to come back and forth and have dialogue is not the way that the meeting is set up, or is not the way the rules run. So no, there would not be any further comment. Once the comment's made, the comment's made. Am I correct, counsel?
Brown Act only provides that the public is entitled to comment either before or during an item of consideration. And that act is silent on multiple times. You have your rules, which limit to 3 minutes, as I understand, or to five.
Three.
Just 3 minutes. Unless your rules provide for multiple opportunities, then there would be nothing to say that somebody's entitled to multiple comments.
Thank you for that clarification. And now, Mr. Barber, I hope that helps you a little bit. I will give you your time on this issue.
Other than to say that I've seen it done where you do have comments on the after the motions. Right, with respect to this Chamber of Commerce thing, clearly these days spending close to $1,000 for you all to go to a party does not seem consistent with prudent financial management, especially when city councils in this part of the county don't do it. City councils have a reason to have a strong relationship with the Chamber of Commerce because they make money. They collect tax revenue. We do not. You all just collect fees for water and sewer. Going to a private party that I can't go to unless I pay $60 to go to, a party that the Chamber of Commerce makes money on, because that banquet dinner doesn't cost $60, doesn't seem consistent with prudent financial management. It doesn't seem consistent with this board putting its best foot forward, considering the public hearing you held on a rate increase not too long ago was a 40% rate increase on the back of the public over 2 years. And you're going to take that money, $1,000 of that money, I don't care if it's $1 or $1,000, and take yourselves to a party that I can't go to unless I spend $60. It doesn't make sense. One person, sure. General manager, sure. And if the Chamber of Commerce was smart about it, they wouldn't be seeking the ratepayers' money. They would ask for a speaker, and they would give the speaker a ticket to come to their meeting or their party and make a presentation if they want that. For you all to pay yourselves $100 plus the meal tab in these times with the increases and with the huge looming increases necessary for the sewer plant in the future, I just don't think it makes any sense whatsoever, and I think it makes this board look even worse.
Any other comments? Please come forward if you have comments.
In addition to what Mr. Barber just said, which I agree with and won't repeat, this event is being sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce is interested in the reputation and the desirability of Discovery Bay as a place to do business and to live. What you're doing, like last year, is going to get bad press. And it seems to me inconsistent that you would want to cause the Chamber of Commerce to get some bad press out of this. It's not right that six people, are going to spend $860 for this event. One of you should go to represent the town and come back and tell us all what happened at the next meeting. and don't give the town more bad press. I wrote you a letter today, gave you the article that came out last year after the same fiasco came about. We don't want another letter in the press, in the media, talking about your bad fiscal habits. Thank you.
Any other comments?
This can certainly be part of my 3 minutes. In the issue that Mr. Barber raised regarding the rules of the meeting, you know, and you mentioned that you hope that the issue of your claims of Mr. Richardson lying are ended here. You know, the problem is you responded to my statements and didn't allow me to respond.
Excuse me. Mr. Flint, once again, you are not discussing the agendized item. That's what we're here for. Please discuss the agendized item. You had your opportunity to speak on what you wanted to speak on. If that's what you have to speak on, then I will ask you to sit down. If you would like to speak on item four, then please do so. That's what this time is for.
I would like to speak on item
Thank
four,
you.
And I'm going to finish my sentence. It won't end because you won't let me respond, so I'll be back in 2 weeks to bring it up again. With regard to item four, you know, I think it's ridiculous, frankly, for the district to say, as is customary, it is appropriate for the board members to attend these things and be paid a stipend. It's not customary. Only in this community has it become customary since Mr. Howard became the general manager. What is customary now is how many perks can the board vote themselves? And there's no reason for all of you to go and claim a stipend and eat the meal for free. And I think you could do the right thing. You know, even if you just took the meal ticket and didn't charge a stipend, it would be an improvement.
Any other comments about item four?
Here we go. I haven't been coming to the meetings as regular as I used to this year.
Well, welcome back.
I'm not sure that's a good thing, Kev. I was a little alarmed at what I saw last meeting. It's just kind of become a free-for-all. I know it's gotten a joke, so I applaud some of the things you're proposing, President Graves. But tonight's issue, item four, is just the epitome, again, of the pettiness that this proceeding has been reduced to. What are we arguing over here? We're arguing over 13 cents. That's 13 cents per parcel is what the cost is that you're discussing here for the dinner cost and the stipend cost. So I'm prepared to pay for any person in this room or any other person who wants to come forward later who objects to the 13 cents just basically being put against their parcel for this issue so that we stop wasting time on dumb stuff. Okay? I don't have a problem with 13 cents. If somebody else has a problem with 13 cents for their particular piece of property, I'm happy to cover it so we can move on. Thank you.
Any other comments on item four? Comments from the board on item four?
Oh, over there.
Go ahead.
I was pointing over there.
Oh. You both did actually in harmony, so which one do you want to go first?
As a matter of reason.
Well, I'm not shy. Apparently we have a problem getting going. For the record, I have never missed one of these dinners. Okay, I've been active in the chamber and with the town, and I have no problem. I'll go without a stipend and without a meal ticket. It doesn't bother me at all. I personally feel like it's a town thing, so that's why I'm going. That's my word.
I think in this economy, I'm going to have to agree with several of the residents that spoke up. I'm a chamber member. Chris is a chamber member. I know for myself, I will not take a stipend and I will not take a meal ticket for this. I'm not even sure if I'm going this year. I think I am. I know Ray's not going to take one, and I would suggest, I don't have a problem with a meal ticket, but I think at this point, taking a stipend for going to a party, to be honest, I'm sorry I took it last year. And if I do go, I will not be taking it again this year. So I would like to see the board at least, whether they take the meal tickets or not. I know I won't take one. I'd like to see the board at least not take a stipend for it.
Any comments from any of the rest of the board?
I personally didn't take a stipend for it last year, so I don't have any problem.
You can have one this year.
Okay, thank you. I would, what we have here, guys, is we have an agenda item, agendized item. Any comments, any more comments from the board?
I'm just going to say that this is an important event for our town, and that the Chamber of Commerce and myself, and I would expect the rest of the board members here, are trying to improve the quality of life out here and promote some economic vitality here. So I think that whether the stipends are in or out, that's fine. We can work on that. But I will be attending this event, and I will be representing the town there, and I look forward to doing some business with those people. So support the Chamber.
Any more comments from the board? Okay, what we have here, guys, we have an item on the agenda for action. Is there going to be any action?
I'd make a motion. Can we make a motion off this?
That's what I'm looking for, Director.
I would make a motion that at least that the board does not take a stipend for this.
How about if we do it in a positive way? Your motion would be that the meal portion of the event be covered by the district for the board.
Let's do it this way. I would say the meal portion should be optional. If the director wants a meal ticket, he can take it. If not, he doesn't have to, and the stipend should be not.
Okay, is that clear? Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody understands the motion. Is there a second on that motion?
Yes.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion among the board?
No.
Okay. All those in favor of that, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? I believe the motion carries unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, gentlemen. Moving to item F, new business. Item one, staff.
The item before you tonight, board members of the public, is a is the Town of Discovery Bay bylaws and board policies. We've had this on the agenda a number of times. We've had a number of conversations on it. At the last meeting, the board made two recommended changes, which are included on page 3 of the board policy. The bylaws there were no changes from the last meeting to this meeting on the bylaws. But on the board policy on page 3, there is a change. Recommended change that says that directors shall comply with all applicable local, state, and federal laws, including ethics training as required by AB 1234.
Second that.
And then if you turn to page 6, we added a new section or a new number under additional responsibilities of board members. It would be under item 2. And it refers to policy violations, and it states that board members who intentionally and repeatedly do not comply with this policy may be reprimanded or formally censured by the board of directors. With that, we're prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and we'll take it from there.
Well, first I would ask for comments from the public.
Just a few quick comments. I think on the bylaws on the title page, I would think Community Services District should be included where it says bylaws of the Town of Discovery Bay. The is part of our name as is town, but the word the is actually on the line above town. And we're a Community Services District. It would seem consistent with reason to say bylaws of, and then on the new line, the Town of Discovery Bay, a Community Services District. I also think that in the board policy, where you've added the, I guess, the discipline for board members who break the rules, I think it's completely meaningless when you put the words intentionally and repeatedly. I can almost understand intentionally, because accidental violations of the rules, you know, maybe people deserve a mulligan, but repeatedly. So if, say, we send the president off to vote at a meeting for who we want to represent special districts, and he doesn't follow the resolution that was voted on, and he comes back and says, I decided to break the rules and not vote the way you told me to, we would say, well, as long as you only did it once, we'll just move on. I don't understand that. I would think that a single action could possibly lead to a reprimand. That's it. Thanks.
Any other comments on this item from the public? Okay, that time for public comments are closed. Any comments from the board on this item? On this?
Can you change the word in that, Rick, that the director will be shot on the spot?
Thank you for that.
I appreciate Don's comment regarding the CSD, and we will add that on there. The State Community Service District.
Any other comments from the public?
No, from the board.
Excuse me, from the board. Thank you. Now I'm confused. I would really like to see these things go away. We've had them in front of us for 3 or 4 days. Can we get a motion to accept them as amended and corrected per director, per general manager Howard's last comment? Are we okay with these finally?
If on that last paragraph we talked about, how about if you take it, say, intentionally or repeatedly?
Very good.
Okay, so Ray, did I hear you then make a motion to accept these as they stand, making those two corrections?
Just one. Just
well, that correction and the title
yes.
page?
Yes, you did.
I thought so. That's what I heard.
I'll second that.
Great, and I heard a second. Are there any more discussion from the board? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much, board. And thank you,
thank
staff.
Thank you.
No, thank you, staff, for going through all that repeatedly. But I'm glad we went through and got them the way they should be done. So. Item two.
The item before you this evening is just to give the board an update. Back on September the 8th, we received a letter that's attached to the package from the Silver Grand Jury requesting a response to our response to their report 1003, wherein they recommended that that public agencies change audit firms every 5 years. We've used Croce & Company for a number of years. I think we just finished 5 years with them, although they completed, I believe, 7 audits. We were behind the first couple of years, and so they did 3 at a time, and they've subsequently completed 4 more. So what we are doing with this action is we're requesting the board authorize the president to send a letter to the grand jury telling them that indeed we are in the process of distributing an RFP. As a matter of fact, Dina Breitstein, our finance manager, and myself finalized the RFP this morning, and it will be going out this week. And it will be posted to the website as well. So we should have in January timeframe, late December, January, depending if we can meet the second meeting in December, bringing a recommendation for audit services for a 5-year term back to the board.
Great, thank you. Any comments from the public on this response to the grand jury? Hearing none, time for public comments is closed. Any discussion from the board with regards to this letter to the grand jury? Do we need a motion to direct staff to send this letter forward, correct?
If the president needs to sign the letter, we will mail it on your behalf, yes.
The motion should be to approve the letter and authorize the president to sign it.
So said.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Director Simon. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's unanimous. Item three.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The item before you, this item is a Metro PCS request to install a cellular antenna at the Discovery Bay Yacht Harbor. I spoke with the planner and with the Metro PCS representative this week regarding this project. I'm not sure if anyone from is here tonight representing Metro PCS, but they did indicate to me, and the pictures are pretty inclusive, that the antenna will be included. It will be constructed to look like a part of the facility. It will be an additional cupola on top of the building. The equipment is going to be below grade, and I think that based on the information that was provided to me by the county as well as by the applicant, that they feel that I feel that it will blend in aesthetically. And in fact, the Metro PCS representative I spoke to indicated to me that this is probably the nicest cellular antenna tower that she's been involved in. That's the action before you this evening, and it's just requesting a letter like we normally do back to the county.
Understood. Any comments from the public on the cell tower at the? Yes, sir. Hey, Virgil.
The only concern I have for the district is the we have a wireless internet system for our vendor. Veolia Water, and we can't get AT&T or Comcast out to the wastewater treatment plants because it's too far from the central office for either one of those two firms. So we do have a line of sight wireless. As long as that antenna does not cause an interference, I believe it should be okay, but I'm not positive if it will or will not. That's a concern that I have for internet access for Veolia Water.
And they're on a line of sight, is that what you're saying?
They're on a line of sight.
Where's it? From what site?
Heading towards, from the treatment plant to heading towards Beaver Lane. So it crosses over.
Yeah,
it crosses right over the marina.
I can certainly talk to the Metro PCS folks and the planner and look into that.
We just had this discussion yesterday, as a matter of fact, in a meeting about the line of sight issues. Any other comments from the public? Seeing none. And you know what, guys, I got to tell you, I go in for eye surgery tomorrow, so if your hand's up, I'm not seeing you, so just come up to the front. I really can't see much today. Seeing none, I don't think. So I will close public comment at this point and open it up to comments from the board. Director Simon?
Why don't we, if we're going to send it, let's look into this and let's be 100% sure. The last thing we need to do is create a problem with Veolia.
What I can recommend is that we'll send a letter that has no negative comments with the exception of to protect our line of sight for our wireless network so that there's no interference or intrusion on that.
I'm sure we
can verify that prior to the
Well, that's a big roof. You would think that they could move that cupola one direction or the other in order to accommodate a line of sight. And so can that be indicated somehow in the... I know we can't say.
I don't know where the antenna is on Beaver Lane. Virgil, do you know its location?
I do not know its exact location.
It would depend.
Is that at the lift station?
Pardon me?
Is that at the lift station down there?
No, it isn't. It's at a residence who runs a T1, which is a high-speed line from their house. They run a business from there providing wireless to some of the outer perimeter locations here. Wireless internet, correct. And since that was the only one outside of a satellite, we elected to use that for right now.
The other option would be to get Metro PCS to give us free cell use for all of our facilities.
Now, I don't believe that, I don't believe it should be a problem because of the different frequencies, but I just like to throw that out there just to protect, because we have had some issues with the trees.
Mm-hmm. Can we ask a letter for them just to hold off long enough to inspect it and find out it's not going to be a problem before they approve it? I mean, how long can this take? I forgot where Discovery Bay could take a year.
What?
They want a response from us prior to November 15th, so that should be fine.
Will you let the board know what you find out?
Absolutely.
How about if we give
staff a direction to put together the letter pending the results of the information. Imagine that what will happen is you'll get Metro PCS together with Virgil to go out and do a line of sight on that. Is that what you're going to do? Or do you want to just table it?
That's fine. Let's make a motion that
you want
to just not send the letter until we
Yeah, that's fine.
So I'll make a motion that we write the letter pending the president's signature and that we do not mail the letter until we've had verification.
Any other comments from the board?
I'll second that.
And that'd be a great comment. Thank you. Any other comments? Great. Thank you very much. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item four, please.
Item four would normally be handled by Farron, but she is out of town today. And this is a item that is before you. This is a park improvement to design for park improvement for Slifer Park. Back on February 16th, if you recall, Farron presented a presentation to the board that included a number of projects throughout town, some of them to Slifer Park. It included shade structures, it included the possibility of a pickleball court along with some other facilities. At our last meeting, it was the last meeting or the meeting before that, we discussed the issue of the dog parks and possible location of a dog park at Slifer Park. And so what we'd like to do is move forward with the design of the shade structures only as phase one of that project and get that project moving forward. So this item tonight is the design plus the reimbursables with Bruce Jett and Associates in the amount of $77,980 for the design of those shade structures. And the shade structures are, they're similar to the ones that are out of Cornell Park. They are the engineered structures. They're not the fabric roofs like we had talked about. The board wanted to go with a more solid structure, and so that's what these will entail.
Any comments from the public on this item? Nobody getting up. Time for public comment is closed. Any discussion from the board on this item?
Yeah, don't the shade structure contractors, don't they design build? I mean, why do we have to pay? Why is it separate than, is that part of the service of buying their material?
The shade structures are, from what I understand, and I was talking to Farron about this today, and I'm sorry she's not here to answer that question, but I believe these are standalone structures that we're going to be designing, but it also, they still have to be engineered for the land. There's drainage issues that need to be addressed. There's going to be modifications to some of the concrete. There's ADA modifications that need to be addressed so that they can be accessible. And while we may, I'm not sure if we're buying them from a vendor or not, but even so, we still need to move forward with those types of design criteria in order to move the project forward.
Yeah, I would think, Chris, that they're going to build them to spec, but somebody's got to put those specs together.
Okay.
Any other discussion from the board?
I'd like to make a motion.
I would entertain one more.
Make a motion to accept proposal and direct general manager to execute contract documents with Bruce Jett Associates Incorporated in the amount of $7,980. For Slifer Park Improvement Project Phase 1.
I'll second. Motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 5.
Item 5, members of the board, members of the public, came about as part of the Water Master Plan. If you recall, Ludover and Scalmanini prepared that plan. And in the budget discussions this past spring, we discussed including into the budget this year a well study, which would include installation of transducers that actually get dropped down into the wells and send information back electronically. Wellhead surveys to determine the overall condition of the wells, as well as a groundwater basin assessment, which will help identify and determine the overall health of our groundwater basin. The The request for you tonight is to authorize contract with Ludorf and Scalmanini for $17,350. The proposal is attached to the report. In addition to that, that is not part of this report, is an additional approximately $6,000 of technical work for the SCADA system. The project was budgeted at $36,000, and so there's sufficient funds available to complete this work. And this is all part of the overall well study that's currently underway. It will provide us a long-term look at our wells and their long-term sustainability.
Thank you. Any comments from the public on that item? Okay, seeing none, the time for public comments is closed. Any comments from the board? Director Simon.
The only question I know what we budgeted is the committee, but is this the total that we're going to spend on this? Are we spending this and then they're going to come back and want more?
No, this is, I believe that this is it, other than the SCADA. Now, if there are modifications that need to be made after the surveys are completed, that may require some additional funds. But at this point in time, if everything appears to be as it is, this should be the budget for it.
What I don't want to do is see this go from 36 grand to 40 or 45 or 50. That's how we budget for it. So I would like to find out before we approve this, if we're looking at something else, because this, they've never come in under budget for anything. So.
I don't believe you will be seeing anything else. The only issue could be is the SCADA. There are what we call PLCs that we'll probably have to maybe add at this site here. Outside of that, the programming, we're estimating around $6,000. We think it's going to be less than that, but that's the only item that I could see go up. Just for a clarification, your wells, whenever a well pump comes on, it creates a kind of a water splat underneath there. The water comes in through through the screens that are down below. When a pump comes on, it creates a pattern sort of like this here. And so that patterns fluctuate depending on really a wet year or dry year, meaning that, and generally it takes years before we may see, like a few years back we had kind of a drought. It'd take years before we will probably see that in our groundwater. And so anyway, this is going to measure that. How much of a drawdown did it take? How long did it take to come back up after the well shut down, so forth like that. This is being done electronically. We do it manually today, quarterly. We go out and we have a tool that we measure. What we don't do it every time a well comes on. What we do is we just set like October 1st, we go out and we measure the depth of that water basin down below. This will measure every time the well comes on, and a well could come on three or four times a day. So it allow the engineers to speculate in the future down the road. They may think that our groundwater is going down or it's staying recharged or not. But to answer your question, Director, I don't believe it'd be anything more than that.
Okay, I'd like to preface this that even if it did go over a little bit, it's a very important tool for the district to have, but I see how it's gonna go over. They have to double. I'd like to make a motion that we approve this contract for this $17,300.
How about not to exceed?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what a not to exceed is for. You want to amend your motion?
Sure, I'll amend it to $20,000.
Not to exceed $20,000?
Not to exceed.
Okay, is there a second? Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Reports. Director's reports. Any reports from the directors? Director Steele.
So on October 20th, I attended the Byron Union School District Board of Trustees meeting. The district is doing a really good job with improving the education out there with a very limited budget. Some of the highlights, Excelsior Middle School, Measure C. They've just opened their multi-use building that features an auditorium, library, cafeteria, and offices. They had a lot of really good help from the family and students to help move. It looks like the library was planned to be a joint partnership with the in the county education department, but the county dropped the ball and didn't get involved. So a little frustration there from them. Looks like they're going to have an upcoming school showcase and a public tour for the new buildings over there at Excelsior. It'll be coming out in the next couple months in the winter time frame. The Lions have done some nice, Discovery Lions have donated some funds for an archery and cheerleader program. And they just had the encore performance of the Aladdin musical. It was dedicated for a benefit for the Kaleidoscope Cancer Support Group. Our two elementary schools, Discovery Bay Elementary and Timber Point, are eligible now for Distinguished School Designation. Their academic performance indexes are at the top right now, and they are 2 of 10 schools selected in the county. So good job to those teachers and staff. So thank you very much.
And just to tag on to that, I was over at the school yesterday with the school board and superintendent for a private dedication of the gym, and I took a tour of those new buildings and the library and the multi-purpose room and the 14 new classrooms, and it's a pretty awesome facility. They've built that to a high school standard, thinking that at some point in time it may actually become a high school. It's been a lot of forethought's been put into it, and the funding has mostly all come through, so they've done a real fine job with that. You have anything else for us, Dr. Steele?
The auditorium is awesome. The kids came back from their break and saw the new school and had a tour on opening day, and they were just so excited when they came home and were gloating at being a student there. So good job.
Ray, anything?
Yes, we had a subcommittee on the wastewater committee yesterday, and went over, because the master plan is, we have the final draft, and it's going to be quite an item to go through, and we have a special meeting next Wednesday for any folks that are interested in seeing what's happening with that, and that'll be at 6:30 here in this office.
Thank you for that, Director Dawson?
I just wanted to let the board know I've heard a lot of things over the last week about the landscaping on Discovery Bay Boulevard. People are very pleased with the project. And I've also heard that they're very glad that it's almost over, blocking the one lane. And also heard a lot of great things about the new park in Cornell. I just wanted to give staff and the board a pat on the back for that.
And I have nothing to report. Manager's report.
Can I ask a question about the facility at the school?
No.
Real quickly?
Mr. Flint.
Chris, did they talk about the road at all, the new entrance at Excelsior, and maybe is there any discussion about widening it?
It's going to be a two-lane road that will have traffic in both directions. Right now it's one way only, and they're going to modify that to be in both directions at some point.
Thank you. We have a presentation from our wastewater general manager, We have a mess. We have something here from Virgil, I think is what I'm trying to say.
I'm not widening that part of it, but let's use this here. This is on the wetlands. It was an issue a few meetings ago, to give an update on the wetlands. This is a wastewater treatment plant number one, and this is the golf course. In the back here, these six cells were created in late 80s, early 90s for drying wastewater sludge. Because these homes just came in after these were built, it was decided not to put sludge in there because the sludge, once the water dries off, there's potential of odors coming up, potentially could be. So it was decided never to use these cells at all. So when I was looking for future ways to remedy wastewater constituents, how to remove them, so forth, years ago, we were getting hit pretty hard with copper, and then I saw aluminum coming down, and there could be in the future some other metals. We elected to start a dialogue with some of the local universities to see about, is there a way to remove some of these constituents from the wastewater, doing it naturally without using any chemicals. The moment you add a chemical to the wastewater treatment plant, today we do not use chemicals to treat the wastewater there. The moment you add a chemical, you must now find a way to remove that chemical before you discharge that into the river. So the chemical might help remove something, let's say for copper, but then you'll have to find a way to remove that chemical before you discharge it to the river or wherever your discharge point is. So anyway, we looked at the various universities. The University of Berkeley said they'd be interested in working with us on research. So one of the first things we did was to utilize these five cells for different types of wetland type of plants to remove copper and aluminum, and it worked very well. Our permit at that time, wastewater permit, changed, and so it raised our copper number. So then we didn't have to use this, but we have it as a back pocket. If we need to in the future, if the copper requirements or aluminum was to be applied actually to Discovery Bay's wastewater, this is an option that the town could think about, building a wetlands to remove that copper and aluminum. There are some negatives. You're removing a constituent, but you're also now creating another one. The wetlands here create methmercury, and methmercury can be harmful to the delta. Now, there will have to be some dialogue going back and forth as to what's important, not important. Right now, we are testing today in this particular one cell to remove pharmaceutical products. It could be anything from suntan lotions to aspirins, whatever. The graduating students out of University of Berkeley has an idea to keep this really shallow and generate algae. Algae falls to the bottom. The water, as it moves through there, a combination of the sunlight, the UV rays, and the algae remove some of that. The experiment that they were doing was working very well. All of a sudden, we have an influx of what we call duckweed. It's a small floating weed that's on the surface. It primarily came from this drainage ditch right here. And the ducks that come over have brought it over with them. And the duckweed tends to grow, and its surface is on the top of the surface. But it binds together because it has a lot of roots together. They bind and makes one big cover mat. So it's now ruining their experiment. We have gone out there twice to rake this, push this over to the sides, but that's an issue currently today that we have. There was discussions about cost. Right now, the University of Berkeley for the last year has worked on some grants. They have been given a grant by a water association that's nationwide to do their study in here. And so none of the expenses from Discovery Bay outside of the maintenance of equipment and weeds is coming from Discovery Bay. Everything is coming from the grant. So to date, we've probably spent about $800 to $1,000 for a system in communicating the results of all this information. There's sensors in these cells through cellular phone going back to Texas. So we have a solar system panel on each one of these sites generating electricity to run that cell phone cellular module, sends that information to Texas, University of Berkeley students from their laptops or their computers at the university access that data so they can get real-time data on these five cells. That's all I have. Any questions? One other one I forgot, I'm sorry. We are looking in the future to look at trying to find a way to remove salinity, salt, from our wastewater, if it is possible to do it through a wetland. So I have thrown that idea out to the students of the University of Berkeley, especially in the environmental engineering class. I have not seen any hands come up yet, so I got an idea I think might work.
Thank you, Virgil. Any questions from the public for that? Please come to the podium. Now I really can't see it because it's dark. They want my excuse.
So I have three questions, I think. Have these systems been tested using the invasive weed species that we have so much trouble with around here right now? I mean, having Egeria or the weeds that are choking off the delta right now, have you tested your systems with those?
None of those weeds are in these cells right now. Although the duckweed does help remove some of the pollutants from the wastewater, but it is helping, it's ruining their experiment that they're trying to do here.
And I've only skimmed the wastewater 10-year master plan. I've seen some language in there regarding this. Could you give me, like, what, in the essence of what that plan calls for over 10 years for this project?
Right now, the
operationally,
outside of being in research right now,
yes.
It's not on there to plan the 10 years. And the reason it isn't on there, Mr. Barber, is primarily our permit is being protested right now, our current wastewater permit. And the state tells me it's being reviewed. They may come back to us very soon meaning the next 60 to 90 days, give us some new requirements on our permit, or tell us we can keep our existing permit going for the next couple of years, and the permit gets renewed every 5 years, or unless you make major improvements to your wastewater plant, or if you go back to the regional board, we currently use, our permit currently allows us to discharge 2.1 million gallons a day to the river. If we change that number from 2.1 to 2.5 or whatever it might be, the state then generally will come back and really put a lot of things that you must do changes. And it could be a wetlands, it may not. They generally don't tell you that, they just tell you, we want you to do this process. How you do it, it's up to you.
I'm a big fan of science, but in my observation, and I've watched this as it's evolved, I don't think this town is in a financial position to do a lot of experimentation in the future. Experimentation is for universities, for Cal Berkeley and other locations, and if they can put money into this, and if this is spare land, that's interesting. But I know the town has put money into this, may need to, or there may come up the opportunity, but I think this is too uncontrollable, and the word experimentation is expensive. The two words go together. So as this goes forward, especially with the 10-year plan, that needs to be kept in mind. Thank you.
Other comments from the public? Questions from the board? Thank you very much, Virgil, for that presentation. Appreciate it. Do you have anything more for us, or is that it?
No, that's it. I think that's it.
Thank you. I don't believe. I think we're down to you, Rick, and your report.
Yes. Members of the board, members of the public, I'd like to give a brief review of the medical benefit program and what took place and how it came about. When I was being recruited to work here, one of the directions of the board at the time was to provide medical benefits, to try to find a way to provide medical benefits for the employees. In the 12 years the district had existed, those were not part of the compensation package. So with that direction, I proposed the Special District Risk Management Agency, or Authority, because we already had a business relationship with them, and we're a member of their organization, and they represent special districts in managing risk. And so I felt that they would be the right organization to contract with for this benefit, primarily due to the fact that since they're in the business of managing risk, that they would probably be the best company to go for a small special district of our size. On November the 17th, the board approved participation in the medical benefit program administered by SDRMA. That was a public meeting of the board. And that was just the board just approved the participation of us in that program. On December the 15th, we were notified by SDRMA that we were approved by underwriting. And on December 20th of 2010, the board approved the implementation documents between the district and SDRMA. Effective January 1st, 2011, the medical benefits program went live. And a month later, February 1st, the vision and dental program also went live. Just prior to November the 17th, a board member asked the question of me if board members were eligible for coverage. After checking with the legal department, and based upon the MOUs, the response to the question is yes. However, at the time, I thought the inquiry was just an inquiry, and I was still working, and in my mind, I was still thinking employees. After the board approved participation on November 17th, the board member asked if they could be covered. So I had staff send out inquiries to the board to see if any members were interested in participating in the program. Two members responded that they would like to participate in the vision and dental portions of the coverage. Again, in my mind, I was still thinking employee. When I took the implementation documents to the board on December 20th, I failed to include the words "and board members" in the agenda report. Board members are identified as elected officials in the MOU, which was part of the action, as well as under the Government Code Section 53200, but not in the report. The fact that "and board members" was omitted was certainly not an attempt to deceive or mislead anyone. The board had no input into the documents, the preparation whatsoever, and as such, I accept responsibility for the contents of the report and its omission of reference to "and board members." I apologize to the board and to the community for this oversight.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public?
I don't hear the conclusion of that. Are the board members being taken out of the program? The fact of the matter is, since this is my only shot at this, apparently, the board members were never, as Mr. General Manager Howard just said, were never discussed in an open meeting or acted upon in an open meeting. They never were. You apparently, some of you at least, knew that the board members were being included. We did not. If the board members are currently in the program, and two of them I understand are for the ancillary benefits, they're in illegally. And something needs to be done about that, in my opinion. I've gotten all of the documents that you have, I believe, on how all of this came about. And one of the peculiarities is that you five members of the board up there, in those documents, are given 11 different names. You're identified as directors, board of directors, board members, elected officials, public officials, officer, authorized officers, members of the legislative body, governing body, and volunteers, and the 11th one, you gave yourself employees. You were called employees. And in some of the invoices that have been submitted, you're shown as employees. I think that needs to be corrected. There needs to be a modification of action taken by you after a open presentation, which I guess we're having now. But you need to take action to correct the error that you made. Thank you.
Any other comments?
After just hearing that explanation, all I can say is wow. You know, you passed a resolution very specific on the 17th of November, extremely specific, down to the headcount, down to the half a headcount. It did not contemplate elected officials. On December 6th, I have right here, correspondence that went from the CSD to all the directors asking who wants in. That was December 6th. Then on December 20th, you bring forth this MOU that, oh, it just forgot a word. You all knew, for sure you knew. You got the memo. But, oh, you forgot a word. So I guess you're not gonna let the public know that you're gonna accept an insurance plan that completely contradicts a resolution you just passed. Why do we pay an attorney to sit here and let that go on? That's ridiculous. I mean, it makes no sense to me at all that you're whitewashing this away saying, oh, I forgot a word. You all knew. You all got a memo. Beyond that, the SDRMA even says, they even say, and I'll read it directly, most districts do not provide coverage to their public officials due to the financial responsibility it requires of the district. The grand jury says you all pay yourselves too richly. Your own insurance company says you pay yourselves too richly. You tried to deceive the public on this. There's no question in my mind, having looked at these documents. No question at all. But do you care? That's what it comes down to. And when I looked up the definition of corruption the other day, and corruption in the dictionary says it's a dishonest act by a public official. This certainly appears to be dishonest. You all knew, no question about it, December 6th, the memo's right here, you knew. On the 20th of December, you voted for something that is completely different than what you voted for on the 17th. Your lawyer sits here and condones it. You've got a president who at the last meeting tried to dust it off. I think this is wrong. I think corruption is wrong. I think this board needs to police itself. I think you need to replace your attorney. And I think the president needs to resign his position for the last two meetings and take responsibility for this mess. And it doesn't matter who's taking the benefits or not. You've enacted something that carries forward beyond your term. I don't want someone saying, well, it's 3 pennies or 8 pennies a day. That doesn't matter if it's 1 penny or no pennies. You did something that deceived the public. You clearly did it. There's documents all over the place. And you even went beyond the norm for what districts do, and you've been told that. I think you need to take responsibility.
Your time's up, Mr. Barber. Thank you.
I'm sure it is.
Any other comments?
Well, I hope that when the board discusses this, there's going to be discussion of a action item down the road to correct the situation. I noted that General Manager Howard said shortly before the 12:15 meeting, a director asked him if directors can get covered, and I'd like to know which director asked that question. I would also like to know if that was also before the 12:06 email, where General Manager Howard asked who wants in. I don't think 12:06 is really shortly before the 12:15 meeting, but you know, if we're going to stretch, you know, the truth, maybe it is. And you know, I don't even have a problem with somebody asking if there's director coverage. I just have a problem with not telling the public about it. I'd like to know what happened in the closed sessions. You know, there was no mention of that tonight from General Manager Howard. Was director coverage discussed? And, you know, the other elephant in the room here is, what about retirees? They're just as covered as directors are according to that MOU. Are they covered? What kind of exposure does the district have? Was that considered when you voted on it? In fact, was that considered when President Graves signed, without reading, the MOU? I mean, really, President Graves, last meeting you said you did not read the MOU that you signed. You implicated this district in a 3-year plan that you hadn't read, according to your words. And according to General Manager Howard and our attorney, that MOU was more important than anything else, more important than the resolution that the board passed. I just, I hope you guys fix it. And I hope you fix it quickly. Thanks.
Any other comments? Any comments from the board?
Statement first of all, being one of the people who take the aforementioned benefit, it is my understanding when we passed that and that day, and it didn't say director, so yeah, it was wrong, but I assume that we're passing what we had discussed, which was employees and a director's recovery. However, a remedy for that, as I see it, is I'm proposing to make a motion that we rescind coverage for directors and retirees from the plan.
Are you making that motion?
I made that motion.
Oh, I'll second.
Okay.
There's more discussions can be added before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Did you have something to say?
I do.
There is a motion on the table. Do we have to address that motion now, or can we continue to discuss, Council?
You can still discuss, but you obviously have to discuss the item before, well, you, pardon me, you have the right to discuss it before you actually call for the question.
Yeah, go ahead, Dirk. Son.
Okay. For me, regardless of how this happened, regardless of who shot who or who did what, it needs to be corrected. It needs to be corrected tonight. I'm as guilty as anybody else sitting at this board. I think I voted no, but I don't remember. I'm as guilty as anybody else. And we need to rescind these benefits. We need to rescind it for retirees. We need to go back to the employees and the employees only. This should have been brought to the public. Rick and I have discussed this. There's no reason for it to hide anything. And I feel like we've hidden it. And I can't live with it that way it is either. And I agree with you 100%. It should be changed tonight.
Any other comments?
I just want to clarify the December time frame. I wasn't even on the board. I think I was sworn in after this vote. So I just want to correct it for public record that I wasn't a part of those decisions or that MOU process. I think it was in January that it was brought up about these benefits, and I took the vision and the dental. I think it's $40 a month benefit right now. So just want to be clear on that. And yeah, shame on you guys if you guys knew this and didn't say anything.
Any other comments?
Oh, I'd like to just add that I've already signed documents to opt out of that plan.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I have some comments. I'm trying to find a nice way of saying a couple things. I want to thank Director Howard. I mean, did the same thing you did. General Manager Howard for his outline and for him apologizing, you know, and I think that this is a board of five guys. We have a human being, general manager. Our whole staff is made up of human beings, and I think that mistakes are going to be made, and hopefully we can learn from those mistakes, but until we can be replaced with computers with proper algorithms, it's going to happen. And, you know, what I get really upset about is the automatic, you know, idea that we are corrupt and that we hid this. The agenda packet for the meeting that we accepted the benefits on the 20th, was that it? Was nine pages. There were two MOUs that clearly state that elected officials would be available. If we were corrupt and trying to hide something, I don't think that we would put it in a nine-page agenda twice. You know, I've said this before, and I think it's important to say it again. Everyone has a job here. We have a job to make policy. We have a job to read our agendas. The public who want to participate in the process have a job as well. And I'd like to offer for anyone on Mondays before our meetings, moving forward, I'm always open to go over agenda packets to make sure everyone reads them. Because that would really help this situation. Had the agenda packets been read properly, people could have made their comments at the time, and we could have addressed it. I get upset because I know these guys, and I know Rick pretty well, and I know our legal. And honestly, I'm not, you know, we're not all best friends here. But I don't think Ray, I don't think Mark, I don't think Kevin, I don't think Chris, who kindly got himself out of the situation right there, or myself, are really corrupt guys making a whole bunch of money off this district. Mistakes were made here. And I think we should have, you know, made sure that it was on the agenda page so that it would spark people's attention enough to actually read the full packet of all nine pages. But if you want to rescind it for retirees, if you want to rescind it for the board, that's fine. I also think that those who have taken the benefits, if we're going to go the whole nine yards, should pay it back if they were taken in an incorrect way, $40, whatever it is, a month. I just think that this is a perfect example of what we deal with on this board week after week after a week. And I think the problem is, and I asked someone, they couldn't tell me, what were the public complaining about in November and December? And I think if we understood what we were doing wrong before the benefits came in November and December, we'd have an idea of why the 9-page agenda wasn't fully read by the public. It's one thing or another. I mean, putting CSD in the title, I just wish that those who want to participate in their government had more helpful intentions rather than looking for every opportunity to rub our face in a mistake, an honest mistake. And I've talked to Rick about this. People have said corruption, all this stuff. I just think it's wrong that, you know, mistakes will be made. I really appreciate your apology, and I hope we can move forward from this with the idea that we're, you know, like Babe Ruth said, they can't all be home runs. So,
okay, well, I guess it'd be my turn. A couple procedural issues. Again, I was being condemned for signing an MOU that the board told me to sign. I can't take that upon my own accord. When the board passed the motion on December 20th, I had no option but to sign the MOU. I received it at the same time that everybody else did. I received it 3 days before the board meeting. And as I stated very honestly, I didn't have an opportunity to read the whole thing from front to back prior to that meeting, but we discussed it openly. The board decided to move forward with the benefits, and I was directed to sign the MOU. So if you want to hold me guilty for doing what the board directed me to do, I am definitely guilty of that. Secondly, I haven't never thought to participate. I don't even recall ever seeing an offer to participate. I'm not going to dispute whether I received one or not. I'm being told I did, but I don't recall. All I recall being told is at some point in time after this all occurred, I was told that we didn't vote ourselves any benefits. We voted for employee benefits, and by state statute, that allows the board then to receive those same benefits. What we didn't do was not vote ourselves benefits, and apparently that's what we should have done at the time, because that seems to be the desire at least of some of the members on the board. So that's not what their desire was at the time, but it's their desire now. And so again, it was a trigger mechanism. It wasn't anything we voted on. It wasn't what the direction was given to staff. Staff wasn't told to go out and look for benefits that included the board, because I personally, and I don't believe any of us knew when we sent them out that was going to include us. In fact, the question apparently arose from somebody on the board, and I don't know who it was, that they wanted to know if it did include board members. Not an issue for me, and not one that I would choose to participate in. So I just wanted to clarify the reason that the benefits became an issue was because of a state statute which allows for that to occur. And I guess if there was some action not taken by the board, it was at some point in time being made aware of the fact that if you don't want to be eligible for these benefits, you need to vote to not be eligible for these benefits, because that otherwise it's going to happen automatically. And that's exactly what happened. Pretty clear, pretty simple. Just not saying it doesn't mean it's not true. So anyway, there's a motion. Is there any more discussion from any of the board members? No? Okay, there's a motion on the floor. If there's a motion made and a motion seconded. All those in favor of the motion, and clarify the motion.
It's to rescind the benefits.
Rescind the benefits for directors and retirees.
Okay. That's the motion. Is everybody clear? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Yes.
Nay. And did you abstain, Chris? Or?
Aye.
Okay. Let's try this one more time. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Me.
Okay. Motion's made 4-1 to rescind benefits correct the action of the correct the action of the earlier, and bring the intent to what I believe we intended all along from the very beginning. And so I think that we have probably, hopefully, taken care of this item. Anything else from you, General Manager Howard?
No, the last thing is for Directors Dawson, Vice President Steele, and Director Simon, there are notebooks in front of you that include the wastewater master plan. So that agenda has been posted, I believe, as of today, for next Wednesday's meeting, give the public more than the usual advance notice, because I know there's a lot of interest in it. Thank you.
And that packet's available on the
website? And that packet's available on the website. There's also a packet in the back of the room. There's a desk copy in the back of the room.
Yeah, please don't take that with you. It's a lot of paper. Any other, let's see, what do we have here? Legal counsel, your turn.
No report, sir.
Good moment.
Thank you very much for that. We have committee updates. Are there committee updates?
Yes, there are. All right. Okay. Number one, on the community center, we have two items that we'd like to bring up. Number one, in order for the committee to write the report, there's been a discussion about whether the community center would be just a community center, or, and that's what's kind of what's coming on from the beginning. However, now we're looking at possibly making a multi-use center where we have some town functions also in the facility. So I'm looking for consensus from the board, if there is consensus. In other words, do you want to make a building a facility, is it going to allow us to have district offices in that facility?
Only?
No. It would.
Okay.
What do you mean only?
I need to procedurally, counsel, where are we on this thing?
I believe we are in item K1. Item K1 is a request from the Community Center Committee to seek board consideration and possible action of the athletic club site that gives the ATM as a potential community center location. That's what you may ask to decide.
Oh, then you
said, oh, okay.
Said it was supposed to be this item too, so it was obviously a mistake.
So I just was to clarify here. Item one, the committee has met several times and we've gathered a lot of input, and there is a property that's nearby on the northeast corner here, next adjacent to the church here, that's available for sale right now.
The athletic club.
And I'd like to make a recommendation that the board allows the committee to engage with the county on discussion of purchasing that property.
Okay, I think that we are in, I think that we're a little bit convoluted here. Let me just go back to and ask council a question here. We have the community center on the agenda, council. We're able to discuss other aspects of the community center at this point, or only that specific aspect?
You are only being asked to consider the athletic club site as a potential community center. Now,
that would include
the discussion, anything that would be relevant to that discussion. For instance, could you fit a particular building on that site or not, would be something you could discuss, because it would be improper.
As well as how that building might be used.
There you go.
As long as it is applicable to the decision on whether to proceed with that site or not.
Okay. Now that we have that clear and okay, and I think we might be able to get to where we're trying to get to, is there any comments from the public on this particular item? Do you understand the item? Yeah, any comments, please?
I'd just like to recognize the significant difference in approaching the athletic club site from what you did secretly on the 1720 Discovery Bay Boulevard building, I think it was.
1520.
I think, 1520? Oh, thank you. Okay. You did that completely secretly, and you're doing this in an open meeting on the athletic club. That's the right way to do it. thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any comment on this agenda item that anybody has?
I'll first comment on the use of the building. You know, once again, in these times and looking forward and looking at what Discovery Bay is and isn't, going out and spending a lot of money on square footage for new fancy office space and customer facing type face space for basically a water operation, in my mind, is not fiscally responsible at all under any circumstance. You clear this building out, this building becomes a much better office situation. Sure, in a new facility, you could have a manager's office or something like that. Lots of people could be put in this building. It's got a brand new roof. It's secure back here once it becomes just an office building. I don't see Grand using a new facility on that athletic site as grand space for a beautiful town facility, because this isn't really a town operation, it's a water sewer operation, and you need to keep that in mind and not seek to spend the community's money for offices when you could spend the community's money for recreation and other useful facilities. Thank you.
I have a comment.
Okay, any other comments? Comments from the board?
Okay, well, I'd like to, since I started that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. First of all, as per the request, the committee is looking for the board to say if they wish to, we consider the athletic club our number one choice of location. And it wasn't my intention that the committee would supersede the board as far as, you know, when you get into negotiations.
Exactly.
But it's for the purposes of us writing a report, you know, and a recommendation for this, if we know that if we have it nailed down where we think the site's going to be, it will help us write a more useful report.
I understand your intent. Thank you, Director Tetro. I think that Director Dawson.
I was going to make a comment similar to what Ray just clarified. Like, I think it should be run through this board and not that committee. I think that the facility should be open to being a multi-use. I don't think it should necessarily be planned. I don't think that we should take that. I don't think we should really be taking any options off the wall. Right now, we have a funding problem, and if I'm remember correctly, if we were to take up space, we could pay rent to the community center for that space, which would help with funding. That's neither here nor there. It's just I don't think we should be closing any doors. And even though that we are a water and sewer, you know, organization, once we have a community center, we will no longer be just strictly a water and sewer organization. That's something to take into consideration. It takes a little thought. But I'd like to see, before we enter into any negotiations, whether it's this board or the committee, an idea of how we're going to fund it and where we're going to get the money to pay for it, for the actual site. And I think that would be important. I hope that will be in, or at least have some ideas in that, in your report that you bring to the board. That's it.
Director, did you have anything?
Go ahead.
You know, there's a concern here we're not looking at, and I brought this up before, and I'm going to bring it up again. Until we get something etched in stone with Hoffman,
mm-hmm.
who's notorious for screwing the town of Discovery Bay, we have 12 lots sitting there that are earmarked for us that we don't want. He has a way out of his entire deal with us by saying, you'll take the 12 lots or you'll take nothing. And before we look at any piece of property or commit ourselves to any kind of anything with that property, we need to know exactly where we stand with Hoffman. And I don't think we should move one thing forward until we know exactly what we're doing.
Director, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Are you done?
Hold on.
Okay. Director Steele.
So at the last community center meeting, we met with Kathleen Caceres, our development manager, and she outlined we went over the document regarding Hoffman, and there is a provision in there for an alternative site and some negotiation. And what we need to do is we'll need to identify another location as the alternative, and then we'll need to form a committee, or not a committee, a task group. It'll be a county representative. It'll be one of the representatives from this board, and it'll be a representative from the Hoffman Company. And we'll have to have discussions on us seeking out an alternative site and see how they respond or how they what their thoughts are, their feedback. But we need some action tonight to direct for that alternative site discussion. And it's just a discussion, as I understand. Right, Rick?
Yes.
If I may, Mr. President.
Go ahead, Rick.
If the board tonight determines that they would like to move forward with exploring opportunities that might be available with respect to the athletic club site, I think that that's an important thing to do. We have an opportunity that has been presented to us. The property is for sale. This action would by no means tie the hands of the board into doing anything. All it does is say, let's see what interest there is, and let's see what the terms of a deal might look like. We can then, at that point in time, bring in all the parties, bring in the Hoffman Company, the county, and ourselves. And I don't remember if Director Tetra said it or Director Simon said it, sorry, Director Steele, but Catherine Katsouris did mention at the last community center meeting that that there is an option for an alternative site. And I know that the Hoffman Company is interested in this because they would like to develop those 12 lots as 12 homes at some point in the future. The 12 lots is not a preferable location. I don't believe it's a preferable location to this board, and it's also not a preferable location to the community. And that was pretty obvious by the community needs surveys that was completed over the past couple of months. So I would recommend, if the board would want to go in this direction, would be that they identify a negotiator to be able to at least reach out to the property owner's representatives and see if there would be any interest as to what kind of a deal we could do, and then it would obviously come back before the board, and the board would not be obligated to do anything. There would be no obligation. The board's not obligating any money at this point in time, just the ability for us to explore the options.
We're beyond the direction that was given to the committee. This committee wasn't formed to negotiate land deals.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's off the table. That's not for this committee to do. This committee is to bring back a recommendation. I really expected one by now, a recommendation to this board of the site that they would like to see. And we're more than willing to give some guidance in that. But that's really what the committee's for, is to get together with the community and get the ideas of the community. And they've done a great job in doing that through the survey and having numerous meetings, inviting the public to it, and getting all the facts lined up. And so I would say that in my opinion, with regards to the function of that particular facility, is that it would have the ability to, and as we talked about over the last year or so, have the ability to have group meetings, which would also give availability for weddings, for receptions, for 50th wedding anniversaries, for whatever. That would also give an opportunity to have a larger facility to hold board meetings, if that's what we chose to do with it. But I don't think primarily it should be a facility that we look at for offices for the district at this point. I think that primarily it should be a recreation center, and that is where the focus should be. A community center with recreation for the community. And that's where the focus should be, in my opinion. I would say that whatever conditions this board has to deal with regards to the Hoffman Corporation, was not set up by this board, or was even set up by the Community Service District. This was an agreement that was signed long before we were ever a district, when we were a MAC. And so this board is being, burdened with dealing with a agreement that we had nothing to do with, that none of our predecessors had anything to do with. And so if Hoffman looks at an alternative side with this, that's not him. Well, you know, there are different opinions on that. I probably don't need to go into it. But Hoffman, as far as I'm concerned, if Hoffman does anything other than those 12 lots, it's goodwill on his part to try to negotiate this deal and help us get the community center that we want to have. I know they want it off their plate. When I participated in a couple meetings that were I was invited to by the county, legal and open and invitation meetings that I went to last year by Catherine Katsouris, actually, where she discussed some of these things with me. That's what we talked about. We talked about trying to move forward, get it off the county's plate, get it off Hoffman's plate, and get a good community center for the town of Discovery Bay. So I would say the guidance for me would be that primarily it would be a recreational center, but I would like to see it have a facility, as Mr. Barber said, that would get us out of here. And if this were, is where the district office is, this is where the district office is. That's not the decision we're making at this point. So that's just my input.
The big hall was always the major,
good,
number one function of this facility.
Good.
Always.
Great. That's how I'd understood it. Thanks, Rick. Any other comments?
We're on track for getting our report out to the board here, I think, in December timeframe.
Yeah, and we're not there yet, so I didn't mean to be, I'm sorry if I sound like I was lambasting you guys, I really didn't mean to be, but I'm anxious, like everybody else is, to hear what you're coming up with. With regards to negotiating a deal, I mean, I just bring the best plan forward to us and let's see where we go, and then we can discuss that when it's appropriate.
If I may, the committee did make a recommendation. They made one formal recommendation to this point in time, I believe one formal recommendation, and that is that they identified that location as the primary site. And so the committee at the last meeting asked that board reconsider and direct staff to test the waters, if you will, with respect to at least meet with the owner's representative on that site and see what options might be available. I've been approached by two other entities in town that are interested in that site as well. They're interested in potential ventures that would allow them to have a piece of the property, and if we were so inclined, if the board decided to move in that direction, there's opportunities out there for joint ventures on that property right now. I've had an official contact from the church, as well as an unofficial contact from a businessman in town. So there are opportunities and there's options out there. And I think the committee would like the board to at least direct staff, to have this board direct staff to take that action and explore the opportunities that might be available with respect to the athletic center site.
That's a good question.
Sure.
Okay, so let's move forward over here. Let's say somebody goes and negotiates with them, whether they're asking $1.5 million or $1.7 million or something right now.
$2.3 million.
$2.3 million. Okay. Let's say they come down to, if you buy it, we'll give you $2 million for $2 million, which we don't have. Let's say the church comes in and says, we'll put up $700,000 for a piece of it. We don't have $1.3 million. We'd have to go finance it. Then we got no building. We don't have the money to build a building.
Yep.
We take a debt structure. If we build a building, we can't afford to run a building. I don't know why we're negotiating anything or even looking to negotiate anything when we don't have the money.
What I would suggest, and I agree, we don't know any of that stuff. I don't know what we have and what we don't have, but I think part of what the committee was tasked with doing was bringing us a funding model. And that's part of what you're addressing in your committee, at committee level, aren't you, is how this is going to be funded? Wasn't that part of the direction? So I agree with Director Simon in that this probably shouldn't move too far further ahead until we see a funding model.
Let's talk about funding before we start looking at buying.
And then the other side is you don't want to let an opportunity go by if we're close, if in fact it is feasible. So I just kind of understand why we're talking about it. But let's get that funding model here and see how it's going to work and what programs are going to be offered and how it's going to be paid for before we go too far.
Let me make one last point before we go. The other thing you need to look at, let's say a miracle happens, we move forward, we buy it for 1.985, whatever it is, $2 million. And the church comes in and says, okay, we'll put up, we want to do something towards the back of it, we'll put up $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. Then comes the time for the partnership to put paving in, to put, yeah, we're going to have expenses regardless of whether we build or not. You got an athletic center you're going to close down, whether we put him out of business or he leaves. You're going to be tearing that building down. You're going to have a lot of renovation, and you're not going to finish this for $2 million. Even if you get $500,000 or $600,000 from somebody, you're not going to finish this for $1.5 million. You're going to have an expense you cannot afford. We would not be able to afford to run this community center.
Okay. With all due respect, Director Simon, now you're doing the same thing. You're accusing them and doing that's projecting forward.
I'm telling you,
don't know.
If you know anything about business, do you have $1.5 million?
Okay. We don't know what the options. We haven't heard the offers. We haven't heard the options. Let's just move forward with the funding model. See what's brought to us and make the decision and give the committee their authority.
My opinion. I don't know what funding model we're going to come up with, okay? But what I believe should be done first is the key element is Hoffman, okay? We've got to, if we need to meet with Hoffman first, because if he wants to do something, a concession that says we released the 12 lots, that potentially would hope that would equate to something going towards purchase of the athletic club.
Well, there'd have to be a value to it.
Exactly. So, that and also Hoffman has about $900,000 in a bond, which locked in a bond that was locked in because of a I just read this document signed by Walter McVitie when it was a MAC just a few days ago. But there's a little thing in there, you know. Hoffman, they're saying that they're locking. I'll back up and say that it's the Hoffman started out with a $650,000 bond. And that's what they put up. And this a letter said that we accepted that bond, that amount of money back in whatever it was. It was
98
or something like that. Anyway, but on that agreement, there's three items. One item is that, and the third item says that they were going to give us to develop this community center at Sandpoint and Discovery Bay Boulevard. So if they want to lock in the 650 as their number, then that means they should lock in the Sandpoint property.
Well, there was an escalating factor in there also.
Oh, yeah, that's how it comes to 900,000. Yeah, there was
an
escalating.
Right,
needless to say, we have 900,000 coming from.
It's about like 950 or 980 or something.
No, they say maybe even less than 900 because of the economy.
Really?
Yeah.
It's gone down, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
But also, they've agreed to do improvements and landscaping. That's all part of it.
That money covers half of the construction and landscaping and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a total amount. Okay. But I believe that the first job one in this thing is to get that... Go after that, and then once we get, if we could get an agreement on that point, then we can go forward. That's the best way I think we should go.
There might be some love there from Hoffman.
You never
know. That's why we need to explore it.
We need to look at it.
Seriously.
You're right, that'll be the first one from Hoffman.
Now I'm really confused. So, you guys do your thing, bring something back to us, and we'll talk about it. How's that sound?
I just given you something.
Okay. So is that the report?
Okay, what I would like, I'd like to see this board.
Let's make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
That there you
the
go.
Board puts together either, at this point, have staff contact county and try to get up a meeting with the Hoffman Company, and then we can have two directors to go. So I would say the board president and myself as the chair of the community. The community center, go to that meeting and see what we can come up with.
Was that a motion?
That was a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting somewhere.
Slowly.
Sun coming up yet? Any discussion on that motion? Any discussion on that motion? Yes, sir.
sure why I'm allowed to discuss that motion, but I will.
I don't know. I'm feeling generous tonight.
You know, and I think that's a reasonable motion. And just to restate it again, to make sure I'm clear, because I've followed this since I've been following y'all for 4+ years. The key really is, because you don't, Hoffman doesn't own that site, the athletic club, he does not own that site. There isn't anything in the agreement, and the agreement's this big, as you know, if you've read it, that says he has to deviate from his owned property.
That's correct.
There certainly is language that says it doesn't have to be those 12 lots. So the key thing would be to explore the opportunity to get Hoffman off his own land to put in more money for the other land, which is what you're saying. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at the same time, as you said, and I think, and I've said this, and others people have said this for a long time, the half versus the bond, or half construction cost versus the bond, there is no way a Walter McVitie or whoever from the MAC had any authority in this deal whatsoever by writing a memo, because the MAC wasn't party. That's a county deal with Hoffman. So there's no way a MAC guy can write a memo and then absolve or change the agreement between the county and Hoffman. So get that out of your head right now. I don't think it takes, it's a county deal with Hoffman. So unless somebody at the county did something, and that may be different, it wasn't a MAC guy saying, no, we don't want the half, we want a bond. Is that right?
Can I just
this is all intertwined.
The county says they made this agreement based on that memo.
Okay, well, that's not what you said.
Okay, well.
Okay. So, but that, again, needs
to
be. No,
you're absolutely correct. It's a contract between Hoffman and the county with the best interest of the town in
right.
Supposedly in.
Yes.
In supposedly.
Well.
But, again, and I'll just say one last thing, because I think it's important. A while back, there was a public records request from the county to find the document that definitively changed the agreement, and they never produced one. So when you talk to the county next time, have them produce the document, not the bond, but the document that changed the fundamental deal.
Oh, the county document?
If the county executed a document with Hoffman, then they should be able to give you that document that changed the deal. Otherwise, I'd be suspicious.
Thank you.
I think to make this thing work because of the initial request, my request that we go to the Cochran Company, I want to add that this is because we want to purchase the athletic club.
Okay.
And
so
consider, so
the direction to the two board members that you suggested is to have staff contact the county and set up a meeting with the Hoffman Corporation to discuss the possibility
of exploring
as an alternative site the athletic club.
And the county.
I said direct you to go to Hoffman and the county. Are we okay with that, council?
I understood it.
Amazing. I made myself.
That's my motion.
I'll second it again.
Okay. So my motion's been made and seconded. Let's just get the vote out of here. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
No. Nay.
Thank you. Don't confuse me.
Yeah, I don't like the motion.
Four in favor, one opposed to that motion. Great. Thank you for that committee report. Will that conclude your committee report?
Oh, yeah.
any other committee reports? We will have a communications committee meeting prior to the next board meeting on the 16th, I believe it is. Is that a Wednesday? Anybody know? I believe. Anyway, prior to the next board meeting, there is a communications committee meeting. So we have nothing more to report. We haven't met since then. Any other correspondence is listed. Public records are listed. And are there any future agenda items?
Okay.
Director Dawson.
I'd like to see that we have an agenda item to make the internship program.
Go.
Brian, it's on my forecast.
All right.
It will be coming.
I'll just keep asking until it shows up.
Thank you.
It's here.
Okay.
Director Zahn, Director Tatro, Director Dawson, Thank you very much. Meeting.
No, motion. I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Public comment on the future agenda items?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you this opportunity. Excuse me for forgetting.
Make sure the record is done.
No problem. Thanks for the opportunity, though. I would like to see the diversion of ratepayer funds in violation of Prop 218 be brought forward for a discussion. Also, I would like to see the refusal of the general manager to record the community center meetings and post them on the website, as well as the communication committee meetings and post them on the website, brought to the agenda. Thanks.
Anybody else got anything? Okay. Was there
I make
second?
A motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.